flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get to the most important non-QBs remaining in the NFL playoffs, but there's a couple of things I want to tell you in the meantime, and one of them, hopefully, will help you out quite a bit. We got our national contest going from now until February 23rd. It's a slam dunk prize for you and three of your friends or three of your enemies. The four of you get to fly to Vegas. Your flight and hotel are paid for. Each of you get $5,000 in cash to watch the first two rounds of college basketball's national championship. The best part, all you got to do, hopefully do what you're already doing. Download the Odyssey app, listen for at least an hour, and you get your daily entry. And as you probably guessed by the description of daily entry, you can do it every single day up until February 23rd. This is a national contest. So we want you guys to have plenty of entries to try to win this prize. We have a good track record with that. When we used to have the $1,000 national giveaway, people listening to our show specifically won it 3 times.
Even when we were on nights,
yes,
we were able to pull this off.
3 times!
So if you're listening to our show, this is why I say, just listen in the 1 o'clock hour, or the 11 o'clock hour, or the noon hour.
Yeah.
It registers it for you, but I say the 1 o'clock, start at 1 o'clock, is one of my favorite times.
Okay, I do think you should definitely listen to the 1 o'clock segment, but as long as you can listen, that would be
hour,
fantastic.
Whole hour, Kevin.
In the meantime, can you give me cut number 2 before we get back to football? We need to talk about the Dallas Stars.
We go back the other way. Johnston got it across. Empty net. Wyatt Johnston caps it off for Dallas. It's a hat trick goal in overtime.
That is awesome. I actually tried to watch the Stars. What channel was that on?
That was on ESPN Plus.
The Plus, that's what I was like. They're like, it's a nationally televised game, but it wasn't on Victory Plus, right?
I think the national games are then blocked out on Victory Plus, if I understand that correctly.
And then I have no clue if Pink A&M held on to their victory or not, but there's a lot of college basketball on.
Against Oklahoma, they did.
Yeah, they're wearing pink jerseys.
Why? I mean, you assume it was for breast cancer, right?
Yeah, but none of that. Players on that team had breast cancer.
Is January?
I would just say it's probably a tough sell to be like, how dare you try to raise money for breast cancer research right now? That feels like a losing issue.
You're right. I'm not, as everything's getting cut around the world, I get it. I'm not in that vein. I'm just asking, like, what was the moment? I don't know if there was a special thing that they were doing for that. That's why I didn't know.
I was frustrated because I promised a Stars fan I would watch the game last night. I couldn't promise I could stay up as late as the game was going to end, and it did go to overtime, which is awesome. The Stars won. But I was just frustrated because I was like, he told me it was a national game, and then I went to Victory Plus, and I was like, I can't find this thing.
Yeah.
It seems like breast cancer awareness was part
okay.
of it.
Okay. Now, the biggest thing about this game, aside from beating a really good team in Vegas again, and you've beat them twice, obviously, in your last three games with, I believe, St. Louis wedged in between, you were losing going into the third period. As we've discussed, the Stars have been absolutely horrid this season when going into the third period with a loss. But Wyatt Johnson scores again. Then he gets the goal in overtime, which they call the natural hat trick, which is not that Robert Redford did it, but that you scored three consecutive goals.
Man, that is impressive, dude. I'm sorry, Kevin, from the 469. I'm at 1 hour and 5 minutes now, but I heard Corey. I'll listen all the hours.
See? Heck yeah.
Look what he just did. Look what I just accomplished.
Quite frankly, do I think we dropped the ball by not saying you'll get another entry for every extra
yes.
hour?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Do you?
I don't believe
you
so.
Don't. Not
and
yet.
Because of legal reasons, I don't want to joke around and lie about that.
I'm going
to
fight for it next time, though.
It's not your money.
Okay, that is true. But I also don't want to get involved in anything else. So, for the Stars, the thing that we had talked about is because Winnipeg has picked up their play. Obviously, I've picked on Winnipeg plenty of times this year because after their historic start, they have been mediocre at best. But they have really picked it up as of late. So you need to continue to win games to try to not keep pace with Winnipeg because you're at least four natural points behind Winnipeg, but to stay close with them and hopefully distance from Minnesota, Colorado.
There's only 32 left, Mike.
32 games?
Only 32 That's games true. Left until the 6 months of playoffs.
So the Stars have, I was looking this morning, they have the fourth most points in the West.
That is correct.
Where does that put them in the weird A playoffs of the hockey thing?
They're C2.
Okay.
So essentially.
And who would they play?
They would play Minnesota.
Chart. Where's a good chart?
The good news is we own Minnesota. Okay, look, I'm going to do my best.
We stole their team.
Yes, we did. So we own them. So basically, the top three teams in each division, those will be C1, C2, C3, or associated with whatever letter their division starts with. And then you take the best next two teams, and those will be the wildcard teams. The division leaders, winners, play the wildcard teams, and two and three play each other.
I'm going to need an animation graphic.
Okay, that's fair. Why they changed it from one to eight, I don't know.
And I know there are people out there listening that they got it. I'm just not that auditory person.
I don't know why they changed it from one to eight to this. I don't remember.
Kevin, I have a question for you about Winnipeg.
Okay.
So you hate Canada, right? You're always making fun of them.
Oh, is that accurate?
They can't win.
They can't win.
Oh, that is true.
You're like Rocky Balboa's wife when he's about to take on a
You can't win!
It's in Manitoba,
Thanks
Canada,
for the
by
support.
The way.
Will you change your attitude towards Canada if we pick them up as a state?
Yeah.
Well, Canada's a city. I'm sorry, not Canada.
Winnipeg is a city
in
Manitoba, Canada. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pick up a whole country as a state, or we're going to pick up all their individual states and then
Are they called provinces up there? Parishes
or something like that. Yeah, province of Manitoba.
I think parish is a church.
Parishes are in New Orleans.
What? Don't confuse them, Alec. They're having a tough time already. But yes, if we absorb all of Canada, which I assume would still need to be split up by their provinces into states, then yes, they could potentially win it because only America wins the Stanley Cup.
And Parrish is also a chief.
You know what?
Double down on it.
I'll put this in terms that you understand the best, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Did you know that the Cowboys have more recently won the Super Bowl than a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup? How about that?
There you go with the Canada hate.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Get all upset.
Who do you think's trying harder? Do you think the Cowboys organization is trying harder to win a Super Bowl or the Canadian hockey teams are trying harder to win a Stanley Cup?
Here's the thing. I'm going to say the Canadian hockey teams, but the biggest team in all of the NHL, and certainly, and if you don't agree with that, certainly in Canada, is the NHL Dallas Cowboys and the Toronto Maple Leafs. They have the biggest market, the most fans. There's all kinds of history with them, and they suck in the playoffs, and they've been stuck in this rut forever.
Don't they have the Hockey Hall of Fame in their city, too?
Because they are all about hockey, and they're not good at winning.
They also have that team, the Manitoba Moose, so it's another ice hockey team.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not what you mooses. Said.
I don't know hockey well. Should I go to the Hockey Hall of Fame, not even knowing the sport well?
Yeah. I mean, just you spend some time reading.
Because you're going to send us a text and be like, did you know this guy? Rocket Richard? And they'll be like, they call him Maurice.
I never heard of this guy.
Okay, and see. And
I think you're talking about, are you talking about the guy that we picked up?
No.
From the Canadian Football League?
No, not Rocket Ishmael. No.
He's always at the Dallas Card Show.
Yes, he is.
On Saturday nights.
And he is great to talk to, by the way. All right, so just wanted to throw that out there. Dallas Stars on a roll. They've won three straight. And one of the things that we talked about going into this three-game run, Corey, was, hey, I need you to take at least 4 points out of that. There you go. Hey, no problem. How about six? Now, the problem coming...
Appreciate you.
Yes, the problem coming out of that game is Mark Stone with the tripping on Miro Heiskanen. Hopefully we'll get an update today. I'm sorry if it's already happened while we were doing the show and I missed it. But hopefully we'll get an update on Heiskanen today, because if you won the game but lost him, then clearly that is a net loss. Now, let's go back to football. The 10 most important non-quarterbacks remaining in the NFL playoffs. So I looked at the CBS list to start this off. Then I springboarded off of that and kind of added to the list, because a lot of those players got defeated. I guess the teams did. Never mind. Who's the most important non-quarterback in this game?
Barkley or Jonesy.
Okay, who do you pick?
I will pick Barkley because he's offense and people like offense better than defense.
Yeah, then I'll go Chris Jones. I mean, I think Nick Bolton goes in that conversation too because of his role chasing down Jalen or Barkley. But I think Bolton's in that conversation.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Conversation two.
When a man...
No, not Michael Bolton. No.
Nick Bolton.
Oh.
How would you rate George Karloftis with Nick Bolton in terms of importance? Like, would you put one above the other?
I still have Bolton a little bit higher, but Karloftis is involved in that too, because he's going to have a huge role there.
Okay, because all in the top five, I might not be showing the appropriate respect to Mr. Nick Bolton. The top five I threw out there: Saquon, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Jalen Carter, and George Karloftis. Those are my top five non-QBs.
You know, when you're talking about Travis Kelce, and I know you can look at his numbers and be like, 2 for 19, and what?
I was disappointed in that performance for daily fantasy purposes.
But then I understand. I completely get that. For his team's purpose,
yeah.
Watch him blocking at the goal line.
For sure.
And how, like, Patrick Mahomes on his touchdown run is running directly behind him. Pacheco's running behind him because... He is, as much as he is a good tight end at receiving the ball, he's always been a really good blocker too. So when it comes to what they're doing, he may not have the biggest game. He comes up in big moments, late in games, they'll go to him. But a lot of times he's like, hey, I have other things that I can do that can help other guys on the field. So I'm very impressed with that part of his game too.
Now, obviously you can get a lot of variation from here, but I went with Nolan Smith, Trent McDuffie, AJ Brown, Xavier Worthy, and Dallas Goedert.
What's your breakdown so far of obviously taking out the quarterback? What's your breakdown of Chiefs versus Eagles on your list?
I do believe I had it 5-5.
Okay.
Which
was that intentional or it just happened?
No. It just happened. But naturally, I would think that gives the advantage to the Chiefs because there is a
with all things equal.
Yeah. I think there is a clear-cut advantage at quarterback. And I know a lot of people argue at coaching. I have a question about that for y'all later. There's a variety of other people that you can throw out there. Obviously, Bolton is one, Jordan Davis, DeJean. Harrison Butker is one I wanted to ask you guys about because the statistic, obviously, the Chiefs have been in a ton of really high-profile games. He's 12 for 12 in the fourth quarter or overtime to tie or take the lead.
Very good.
Do you need, does a kicker belong on this list then, knowing that the Chiefs have been in a lot of pressure situations? He has been in a lot of pressure situations, and he comes through.
Yeah, whenever it's time, they have faith that he can hit it from anywhere on the field. Like, he's like Brandon Aubrey, like, where they're like, 50 yards, we feel confident here. So they do a great job of getting him close enough because Patrick Mahomes is really good at that.
How much more confidence do you think a kicker has after kicking in the playoffs? He's kicking on, I'm pretty sure, Kansas City's natural grass, but they do such a good job of now, like,
with the synth surf.
Yeah. But and then the elements being really cold, a little bit windy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to New Orleans where it's going to be 70 perfect degrees condition. And nothing's going on.
Yeah.
Like,
this is a weird question.
Same with Philadelphia, right?
They
played in the tough weather of Philadelphia, too.
I like your question. Do you ever think there's even a tiny part of that person that gets so used to, like, redefining their kicks for the elements that when there's none for half a second, they're like,
they lose focus?
Yeah.
A little bit.
They're
not taking in everything.
I don't
everything.
Have to correct for the wind.
Yeah.
Or,
oh, this is going to be easy.
Yeah.
And then
I imagine that transition is significantly easier than going from your 72-degree dome all the time to outside, for sure. But that's a great point. I hadn't really thought about it like that before. All right, how high would you put Bolton on your list then?
I mean, I'd think he's probably in the top 6.
Okay.
Because, yeah, it's the, you know, non-quarterbacks.
Sure.
It's Barkley. It's going to be Kelsey's there. Chris Jones. Karloftis is in there. Jalen Carter, obviously, in that conversation. What they do with Quinyon Mitchell. Like, that's
Quinyon Mitchell's a good one.
So I feel like, and then their offensive line for the Eagles, you know, that they have injuries in the center and guard positions there. They've been kind of dealing with a little bit. So you're working with that, but what they love to do is that tush push. And we saw it not work, and they got to figure out how to make that work because that's a key feature in what their offense is.
We're out of time, but since you guys are Cowboy fans, if you look at these two teams that are in the Super Bowl and you go with their top 5 players that are not quarterbacks, and then you stack them up against the Cowboys' top 5 players who aren't quarterback, I wonder where, because obviously you have Parsons and CeeDee Lamb. I'll take those two against any two guys that aren't quarterback in the NFL.
For sure.
But how big of a drop-off is there to your third best non-quarterback
player?
And
that's the tough part, because for years and years, I was like, give me Zach Martin.
Right.
I'll put him up there in the mix. But you're not necessarily going to say that anymore. Plus, he's going to be a free agent. The guy that I was hoping would surge into that position, DeMarvion Overshown, lots of injury problems. Tyler Smith, maybe not quite there just yet.
But probably a top 5 player on your team.
For the Cowboys. And so it is kind of humbling. And then especially if your honorable mentions are Mike Dana, Harrison Butker, you mentioned Nick Bolton, Cooper DeJean, Jordan Davis.
Like, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah,
Davis is a heck of a player.
That is a formidable 6-10 on your list.
There's a lot of talent on both teams.
It's depressing, but when you start looking at the reality of what you have to overcome, and you're a top-heavy team, you're paying so much money to your top-heavy players, and you're like, wait a second, our top-heavy players, yes, Micah and CD can compete. Dak can't compete with these quarterbacks, I don't think.
12-20, Mike. I put together something that I think you and other Cowboys fans will find staggering about how the Cowboys are not playing on an even playing field.
Okay.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for My Buddy's an Idiot. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion, or do they never play in the basketball game you want to see them play in? Let us know. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Embiid, shake and bake. Oh, that's a grown man's jam!
That is a grown man's jam, but unfortunately we're playing that highlight heading into my buddy's an idiot. So that's probably not great for what's about to happen with him. Does your friend have a terrible sports or pop culture opinion? Let us know. And we're going to start with this. And I know some people might argue about this because obviously Joel Embiid missed a ton of time at the beginning of his career. But in the 10 and a half years Joel Embiid has been with the 76ers, he has made $266 million in that time frame.
It's a nice payday right there.
It is. He has 4 years and $248 million remaining on his deal. So we're talking about $500 million. Thus far, he's been active for 446 games and has missed 400 games. He hit the 400 mark last night.
Good God.
With his absence.
They still won. I'm glad they did. Okay. They beat the Lakers.
That's now, not the point.
Let me ask you this. How much do you blame Embiid? Like, he's not our guy, right? We're not following all his injuries and everything, but part of the blame goes to him. Yeah, part of the blame is that's the way he was made. Like, there's nothing he can do about it. So what's the percentage of this is on him versus it's just there's nothing you can do about this?
So I think, and we might have the exact same like issue when it comes to this. When Joel Embiid came into the league, there was a couple of stories that were just shocking when you read them. And it was Joel Embiid like getting ready for the combine or getting ready for the draft, is that his agency would drop off all this fresh fruit and stuff, and then they would go back to his hotel room like later, like days and days later, and all the fruit had rotted, and yet the mini bar had been cleaned out, and he had all these fast food receipts and everything like that. So it does feel like I'm not here to judge that. I totally get that. But if you're a highly tuned world-class athlete, it feels like he takes some responsibility for like the trajectory of how this all went.
This is a guy that he was naturally gifted, bigger than everybody, and got to rely on that. And when he got to Kansas, they're not going to mess with that too much. They're not trying to teach him all these other things about how to take care of his body and what it takes to be a professional. And then he gets to the league and he's like, I mean, this is kind of easy for me still. And so like his body's just not taken care of. That being said, he also is 7 feet tall. Like, being 7 foot tall has those things.
And heavier.
Can't teach that.
And heavy, yeah.
And but Jokic doesn't deal with this.
Jokic lost weight too, remember?
But the time he did, he fixed it pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I think there's just he wasn't taught these things that you need to do this certain way at a young age, and so his habits were bad.
From the 469, I'll let you guys figure out what this is about. My buddy's an idiot because he put air quotes around the word drought. That would be about Stephen Jones.
This is like, don't walk around the house saying to your wife, you're beautiful, and throwing up air quotes.
Oh, my goodness.
Then she's going to be like, what are you doing?
That's not doing it
the incorrect way.
You should not. Now, let's go to Vanderbilt, where the kids at the school really screwed over. Well, they might not be that smart because they really screwed over the athletic department. Mm. So, and this is an amazing story. It happened over the weekend. We didn't get a chance to hit it on Monday. So Vanderbilt was about to beat Kentucky. In men's basketball. So right before the game's over, and Kentucky's number 9, so this is going to be an upset, and people are getting ready to storm the court. Vanderbilt's athletic director, Candace Story Lee, went out there and said, please do not storm the court.
Oh, no.
We are facing a $500,000 fine if you do this. And no, they did not.
Oh, good. I thought this is where they
told. No.
And then they blew the game.
They did win. And then everybody stormed the court anyway. So what happened? They got fined $500,000 because this was at least their third offense this year.
That's a sixth man on their team.
Yes. Well, they talked about how NIL could have made a difference. But one of the things is, you remember when they had pulled down the goalposts, those got fished out of the river where they threw them. And then they auctioned pieces of it off.
By the fire department.
To help with the fire department and with NIL and everything, but there's nothing to auction off here. So they all storm the court.
You can't auction off part of those, the goals, the baskets.
You want to? I guess they could cut down the baskets.
I mean, they'd have to replace them. Just or the nets, auction off the nets.
This doesn't feel like that would mean the same thing, but this was their third time. Auction the athletic director said, please don't do this, and they got fined $500,000.
They don't care. The students don't care.
That's going to hurt your team.
Cost $85K, I think, to
most of those kids don't really care if their team gets hurt or not.
I know a lot of the kids
most of those kids are like, I'm here for school.
Yeah, my and parents have $85,000.
I got to show up over here for this basketball game, and I'm here to root because it's going to be a fun party tonight.
By the way, this is the second time in 2 weeks they stormed the court and got fined, so that's $750,000.
Do you see?
Oh, it goes up?
Yeah, yes.
So it's $1 million next time?
I think it might even be like $1.25 million or something like it.
They're going to throw the game.
When will the school say this is going to start affecting the students?
Yeah, hey guys, we can't afford to win this.
We're
going to.
I know your classes are going to go up by $12. You know, and now I'm dead serious. Students will be like, "Oh, hold on, I don't want to do that."
Yeah, absolutely.
Classes are expensive.
Now, let's stay in the realm of college basketball because at first I didn't understand this, and it says South Carolina has suspended their in-game DJ. For their next home game.
What did he do?
Okay. That's a great question.
He must have played a song with
like cuss words or, yeah.
Like that time you went to that school and they were like, you can't do that. Yeah.
So what he actually did was after the game went final and South Carolina beat LSU, he played a song that was actually by the late father of one of the LSU players. And he went by the name Camouflage in the early 2000s. And so right after LSU lost, he fired up this song that her dead dad made. And some people were like, he was trying to do it to like, hey, your dad was awesome. But other people are like,
it was mocking exactly, and it was insensitive.
Exactly. What's your like initial take on that?
I probably wouldn't have done it to the person. If that person had done something special, then maybe I would play it for them. But after they lost after that, I'm not rubbing that in.
Prove that person did it to hurt the other person.
First off, you ask them. And whenever they give you their answer, then they say, well, yeah, I did it. I thought it was a funny joke.
Yeah, because you're telling us a story and I just don't know like the intent.
So I hear you on that. Let me ask you this. I think it's how like the affected party felt about it. Uh-huh. And I believe it was Flujay Johnson.
Ah, Flula.
No, it put out a tweet that said, I'll take the L on the chin, but this is just nasty behavior. Nothing funny about this. Because her dad actually got killed when her mom was 3 months pregnant. So like she didn't get an opportunity, obviously, to meet her dad. Very sad situation. I hear what you're saying, and I don't know the intent either, but I wonder if like, hey, who would have been affected by this? And if that person's like, this is messed up. That's probably what happened.
Yes, I believe it is the guy who sang the song F Friends.
And
yes.
So I guess how popular of a song is that? Is it usually played at games? Because I would say, hey, I'm going back. Like if I was at that school, I'd be like, I'm going back and listening to the songs you play after we win.
Yeah.
You never play this song. So you went and found this song to hurt the other team / players.
I could absolutely
feelings,
see that.
But if it's played, let's say 25 or 33% of the time after wins. Then I'm like, well, he does play this even when we're not playing that team. Does that make sense?
Somebody texted, I don't know if this is real, but they texted and said the DJ posted a screenshot about it with a laughing emoji. So it was definitely a mocking.
By the way, I don't know if I said this either way. The DJ was female in case I said it the other way. I apologize.
Sorry, I was saying he.
I probably said he too.
You probably said it and I wasn't listening.
Anybody can be a DJ, all right?
That's true.
Even our friend DJ.
I listen hard enough to get most of the story.
Yeah. No,
don't.
I know.
The Eric joke.
No, he played it. I didn't play that
drop.
That
was you playing the drop of that?
Eric. the most hated joke that I ever made that Mike just despises above all.
Your wife loves.
Oh, did you see what I tweeted out yesterday?
No.
I tweeted out the video.
You X'd out.
The video that Carter posted of you doing the John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt bit.
Oh, yeah.
She laughed out loud when you were like, maybe because a lot of people have his same name. She laughed out loud and was like, you got to give it to him. That's pretty clever. I was like, yeah, dang it.
I made Jess laugh.
You did. You did. Sorry, Corey, back to you.
I had nothing. Kevin.
Oh, I thought you wanted to say something. Nope. All right. My apologies. All right.
I was just mad about your Eric joke, but that's then it fair. Was a drop and it made it made that's me fair. Laugh.
From the 214. Hey guys, I've been streaming the fan for probably 2 or 3 hours this morning. Do you know how I'll get the Vegas entry? Is it emailed or texted? It's automatic. Just I don't
keep listening and you'll find out.
That is true. I don't think there is an accompanying correspondence unless you win the contest or something like
good
that.
Question,
I think
though.
It's automatic.
And I'll go ask the boss right now.
Okay. Okay.
Every hour you get a message, you lost again.
No, but we're not deciding until the end, until February 23rd.
Oh. You're entered. Guess what?
Man. You lost. Mike, I had no idea people felt this way from the 469. Thank you, Mike. People who say tweet are idiots.
I know they changed it to X, but isn't that like, I guess they didn't think of this. Hey,
like
they
you
X'd
it
out.
Like, yeah.
That means like you marked it off.
I don't know. I'm really not sure. Sorry.
Boss's door is shut. He can't
okay.
answer that question.
Oh, meetings.
He's in a meeting.
I say tweet. I'm probably going to continue to say tweet. Sorry.
I'll say tweet forever.
Yeah.
Right. Just like the Gulf of Mexico, just like, well, I
heard
can't,
Bill
I say
Burr
Guardians.
Say Redskins.
I did too.
On
Rich Eisen's show.
Yeah, we need to play that for
that
Mike
was really
Likes
good.
It.
Hey, by the way,
it was really good.
What's going on with our Bill Burr and Billy Corgan brothers?
I think they might be brothers, dude. Look at them.
Billy I Corgan, know they look the
Billy
same.
Corgan Billy Corgan has a story that he thinks Billy Corgan, the lead singer for the Smashing
The person we had
Pumpkins.
On the show that is the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins.
He didn't ask a question, remember? Were you here?
Yeah, I was okay. on Zoom.
So, Billy Corgan's lead singer for the Smashing Pumpkins. Look at pictures of them, but Billy Corgan thinks that he's his half brother because a story that I think that his mom told him. So,
okay,
but
they both have the same name.
Nope. Well, yeah, Bill and Billy, but we do need to go. You need to check out him on the Rich Eisen show because it's very. He has some interesting thoughts.
Because the mom would say. Oh, do you think it's the dad who did two women?
Coming up next.
Man, you know, Mike.
If they're brothers, which way do you think it is? Do you think the mom just calls all her kids Bill or a certain way of William?
The dad is like, I want you to name that child Bill.
See, that's a good question. And that's one of the things after we had Noah and we were talking about adoption, I was like, we need to space these out properly because I didn't want to walk around with like, here's our 6-month-old and here's our 3-month-old. And everyone's going to look at me and be like, you know, good son of a. We're the K&C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, ranking the playoff losers based on their chances to win the next Super Bowl. Next, right here on The Fan.
Daniels fires one.
Kansas City because of you. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go!
If you missed it earlier, Will McClay has signed a multi-year extension to stay on with the Dallas Cowboys, and I feel like most people are probably pretty stoked and in favor of that. I want to talk about the ratings of the AFC and NFC championship game because, man, oh, man, is there a very defined, as you probably could have guessed, A-side and B-side to this Super Bowl. And there is no question, as you could guess, the AFC is the A-side. But let's start with the NFC. The NFC championship game.
Before you say numbers, isn't it interesting if you look at the markets? Philadelphia and D.C. are top 10 markets in the United States.
And
Kansas City and Buffalo are out of the top 30, I would say.
And it does help. The time the game gets played does help, but it's not to this level. So, for example, the Washington and Philly game drew in 44.2 million viewers. That's a lot of dang people.
Yep.
However, that's the lowest rated game in that slot for this game since 2019.
Okay.
So it's been 5 years since we've seen a number this low. On the flip side, the Kansas City and Buffalo game.
Does this break a record?
Kind of, but not really.
Okay.
57. It's really interesting the way articles use record audience nowadays. Okay. It drew 57.4 million viewers. So that's
impressive.
That does break an AFC specific record, but not the conference championship weekend. But it did break the AFC title game record, which was set last year between the Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. 57.4 million viewers, and that's the highest for any conference championship game since 2012, and that was the Giants and the 49ers.
But the Chiefs are ruining football.
I mean, that's not the way football feels. That's not the way the NFL feels, I'll bet.
I know, it's the NFL never has to really worry about ratings. Their ratings are so far beyond any other sport. Maybe, obviously, world soccer. Maybe a World Cup final or something like that. But you just look at it, and I know I'm changing sports just a little bit. This is what basketball is missing right now, possibly, is that dynasty type of like everybody wants to see them either win or lose.
Agreed.
And it's what baseball people are maybe complaining about, owners specifically, but it's like the Dodgers might become something where everybody is either rooting for them or against them, and that usually helps out your product.
Look, if you go back, you think about when the Lakers won the bubble title. If they could have won the next one and maybe even the next one, now all of a sudden...
Or been in the finals 3 years in a row and won two of them.
And if LeBron was at five titles, can he match Jordan with six or what? Like, that would have been great for the greater NBA game. I would have hated it because I do not want to see the Lakers personally succeed.
True.
But it would have been great for the NBA. So all the people who are like, the Chiefs are terrible for the NFL, the numbers say, not so fast, my friend.
All right.
Now, in terms of the teams that have all lost in the playoffs, who's your top team most likely to win next year's Super Bowl?
Cowboys.
Okay. They did not make the playoffs,
even
you
better.
Jerk.
That's even a bigger risk.
No, they're not.
Oh, yeah. He actually is taking a risk.
I risked it more.
Yeah, I agree with Mike.
Yeah.
If he would have picked a team that was in the playoffs, like they were in the playoffs already.
Yeah. I'll go with this. I'll go with Detroit. They get healthy next year and make a run at it.
Man, that's going to be tough to do that. But can you imagine, though, being Detroit right now, thinking, we're going to the Super Bowl, guys? Like,
yes.
You all season long, you're like, we're going to the Super Bowl.
How terrible of this past couple of weeks.
Man. This last couple of weeks, you just probably didn't even pay attention to football.
Yeah.
You probably were just like, I can't do this. My emotions are just destroyed. But I think that Detroit is probably, that would be my favorite.
Isn't it tough to pick an AFC team? Yeah, you have Josh Allen, you have Lamar Jackson, you have Joe Burrow. It's just so tough to go, how are they going to beat Kansas City?
So it's fascinating that you say that, because the best three teams are clearly, or at least have been, Detroit, Baltimore, and Buffalo, right?
Yeah.
But CBS Sports list, Washington is number one.
Huh?
Detroit is two. The Packers are three. The Ravens are four. And the Bills are five. And it's for that exact reason that you just said. Those first three teams all play in the NFC where, I mean, and maybe the Eagles are in the midst of like trying to build their own either dynasty or more likely stranglehold on the NFC. But it's much more wide open.
I agree with that list. I'm going to throw another one on there. I think C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans are going to learn from what they did this second year. They still made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they got close to winning the game against Kansas City, but they were in the game. You saw opportunities that they could maybe upset Kansas City. In the end, it didn't come that close. But I think Houston, you can start me personally to throw them into that Buffalo, Baltimore, I guess Cincinnati mix because they have Burrow of like, hey, man, they're really good. And one of these teams you feel like is going to eventually overcome the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Texans are behind the Chargers, interestingly enough. And I believe I would flip that.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, they just beat the Chargers. They stomped them. But looking at all the other ones, Kevin, Rams, old quarterback.
Yes.
Vikings, J.J. McCarthy's going to be their quarterback next year. Who knows? Buccaneers, that team. You know, like there's all these things that it makes sense the Commanders would be there because, A, like you said, top of the NFC, but also young quarterback with a lot of growth. Yeah,
yeah, and they have approximately, numbers can be different, but somewhere around $60 to $100 million dollars in cap space to add to that team.
Broncos are interesting, though.
So the thing about the Broncos, because I agree with you, they are very interesting. Does it not feel like, even though they both had really great rookie years, does it not feel like we've all said Jaden Daniels is the dude and I'm bought in, whereas most people are like, oh, I'll let you know about Bo Nix.
Yes.
Like, that's what it feels like, and that's why the discrepancy in their ratings.
Yeah, I think the combination of Nix and Sean Payton is very good, but I want to see growth next year, that next level of growth. It just felt like Jaden Daniels, when he started this season, was ready. You know, it just seemed like he was already ready.
And I get Philadelphia. This is the second time in 3 years, right? Going to the Super Bowl?
Yes, correct.
So that's tough. But you look at Bo Nix and you look at the Denver Broncos and then you look at the Chiefs. And then you mentioned, I think that the Chargers are always going to be playoff contenders.
And their defense showed flashes this year.
And so you look at, I'm sorry, Dallas. You look at Dallas from a national perspective, they don't look like a competitor for the next 2 or 3 years. New York looks like a bottom five team for the next couple years. So it makes it maybe easier for Washington to overcome one, Philadelphia, which will be very tough, but then the NFC's weaker. And then Bo Nix, I just didn't have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
Going into the NFL, Corey was different. Corey was more right than I am, but I'm still like on the let me just see about this Bo Nix guy.
Couple of updates. Now, one of them, I know we like to rip on the Eagles and their fans. This is a really sad story, though. An 18-year-old student at Temple, so one would assume a freshman, died after falling off a light pole while celebrating the NFC Championship win. You know, we talked about after they won the Super Bowl, like, and I know people thought it was odd. They were greasing up the poles and
Tom
stuff.
Tom Brady was talking about it at the end of the game. He was like, they're greasing up the posts, the lamp posts in Philly right now.
This is a tough story.
Yeah, freshman in college, dead.
I think of how, whether it's lucky, blessed, whatever word you want to use, just think about, if you're listening right now, I can think about my life in the teenage years and early 20s and how many stupid, risky things you did that you got away with.
Yes.
That didn't cause bad injury or death. And then you just think of this one, you know, I say small mistake. You're celebrating your team. You do something that's, you know, risky, but it doesn't seem too stupid.
Yeah.
But one accident causes, you know, your life to end. And for, you know, people that are your family and friends, for them to have heartache for the rest of their lives. And it's just, it's tough to understand why some stupid decisions don't end up hurting people and then some stupid decisions end up ending lives.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Quick hits for you. Brian Belichick, the youngest son of Bill, will not be back with the Patriots. Cliff Kingsbury is going to stay on as the OC with the Commanders. And Mike McCarthy is out of the Saints mix. He is going to refocus and take a look at potentially being a head coach in 2026.
Oh, I bet he'll be one of the hot commodities.
He's going to be looking at the film.
Yeah, we'll see.
You got to go get in the barn, baby.
We'll see. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, time for NFL Overreaction or Reality right here on 105 Through the Fan.